I'm Rhett.
And I'm Link.
And we're the hosts of the podcast Ear Biscuits. We're just two lifelong friends who've been talking about life for a long time.
From being dads to businessmen to all the random things we experience, nothing is off limits.
And now we're talking to you. We're answering your questions, giving advice that you may or may not want to take, and listening to your hilarious stories.
So leave us a voicemail to be part of the show at
1-888-EARPOD1 on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back. Chucky's coming to you live on 106.7 The Fan and the Team 980 here in the DMV. 910 The Fan, 105.1 FM in Richmond. We are streaming live on the free Odyssey app, iHeartRadio, and TuneIn. And you can watch us on the Monumental Sports Network. Brought to you by our friends at Crop Metcalf. They're the official heating and cooling company of the Junkies. Looking to be their next five-star HVAC technician or plumber. Just visit cropmetcalf.com to join their team. It's JP, Cakes, and EB. Bishbuck should be back on Monday after his week in North Carolina. We'll find out what it was like dealing with the hurricane effects.
Hurricane Aaron.
I've been so busy just doing...
Aaron with an E or Aaron with an A?
E-R-I-N.
Okay. I've paid no attention to it. Literally zero.
I've paid a little more than you, but not much.
Is it like death and destruction, or is it pretty mild?
I think for the most part, they were just closing down the beaches because the conditions
were I heard Outer Banks got
bad.
Hammered.
They did?
Yeah. But I don't know if anybody has died.
Okay, that's good. Good. I haven't paid any attention. By the way, I was just looking, we're trying to track down the missile, Kadri Ismail, to talk about this game and the Ravens season, and maybe get his insights on Terry's situation. I noticed JP and I were talking during the break that some people are giving JP a hard time about writing a story about one season. I've totally been one season. Are you kidding? The only people I can imagine saying that are like not Skins fans, because every Skins fan I know thinks we're back. That it's not just a one-season thing. No matter what happens, we're back. We're back to being at the forefront. We're back to being something that we look forward to. That's unfair criticism. Those can't be Skins fans.
Steve Sands shared a great story. You know, Steve is our age and grew up in the area and was a huge Redskins fan. His season tickets went way back to like Griffith Stadium. Was in the family. It was like a big thing going to the games and winning Super Bowls. And you know, whenever we have Steve on the show, he primarily talks golf, but he's a huge fan of all DC sports. And he shared a story about going to the Tampa game, the playoff game. And when they win the game in Tampa, he brought one of his kids, who was a teenager, I believe, maybe early 20s. And his son turned to him as they're celebrating the win in Tampa, winning the playoff game, first win in the playoffs in many, many years. And his son goes, "Oh, Dad, this must be what it was like when you were rooting for the team."
Yeah.
And like my daughter, for example, who is 24, about to turn 25, huge fan. She had RG3's year.
Mm-hmm.
And then last year just took it to another level.
I talked about this, I think it was after last season. My daughter, who would casually like watch Skins games over the years, but she never was really into it because, hello, they sucked for so long. They had become irrelevant. People had ambivalence towards them, which is the worst thing you can have.
Mm-hmm.
She turned to me late last season and said, "Dad, now I get it why people are into the NFL team in their city.
Right.
Now I understand."
I have to.
Like, she got like it clicked.
I never wavered. I always was there. I mean, I was always there, even in the worst games. So even when Bill Callahan was trying to get through the game in like 90 minutes.
Which, by the way, not a terrible strategy. Try to get through the game as quickly as you can.
He tried to get through those games as quickly as
he
can.
He was in on the running clock bit.
Now, I didn't think we were going to win every week, but I was there rooting for him, and it still hurt me when we lost. But now I think more people are going to be back to invested, emotionally invested, and it kind of changing the dynamic of your week.
And what That's it was what I'm like excited when about. We were growing up, there was the sellout streak, there was the waiting list. And then when La Famina came in here, he exposed, okay, there wasn't a waiting list. And just a couple seasons ago, they opened the season and they're empty seats for an opener. That's how bad it got during the Dan Snyder era. Because when he took over, they were still selling out games and there was excitement. And Josh Harris, I'm not going to say he's perfect. He owns other teams. They don't just win championships, but he has changed it around and given them an opportunity to win that never existed with Dan Snyder. I think you're right. Had Dan Snyder been the owner for the draft, he probably would have bungled it somehow.
Well, no, again,
instead of taking Jaden Daniels.
I think he might have engineered a trade for Caleb or something.
Right.
Maybe, because he's a local guy. We have to thank again. We have to thank the Chicago Bears and Ryan Poles for bypassing Jaden Daniels for Caleb Williams.
Thank
and look,
God.
it's one season. The script, you know, final script hasn't been written on
I think Caleb
or Jaden at this
point. He's going to be fine.
He'll be fine, but
I think
I'm
our guy's better.
He's not Jaden Daniels.
I think our guy's
and
better.
And I don't think he ever will be on the level of a Jaden Daniels.
You know, so I often, every morning, I'll go through and I'll, all the Skins podcaster guys, I'll preview as I'm driving in and I listen to them just to make sure I'm just kind of updated on everything that's going on. Chase Daniel, who does that show with Russini, he also does a quarterback breakdown. Mm-hmm. He did like a 10 or 11 minute video of why Jaden is so freaking special, like in the last day or two. And I haven't watched it yet. That's going to be must watch TV for me, or you know, must watch YouTube for me at some point today.
Or you can just side by side it with the Ravens Commanders game tomorrow and just pay attention to what Chase Daniel is saying and watch like the guys battle for the 52nd and 53rd spot on the roster.
Yeah, I know. God, these preseason games are brutal. Let's bring on the
I've turned the page. I no longer criticize the preseason games because
it's
we're on the pathway to the regular season. And thankfully, again, the preseason has been shortened from four games down to three.
And again,
which is a good thing.
Totally. And again, like I keep talking about Dylan Lauby because he's a friend of my buddies, and you know, we've talked to him, had him on the show, had him on my podcast.
Did Joe coach him or Vinny?
Joe coached him.
Okay.
He's a 53rd type guy. He's a guy who, like, these games mean everything. And even practice updates.
Sure.
So I do have an appreciation for these guys just trying to do everything they can to turn ahead, to make a roster. All right, I see his cadre there.
Believe he is. Qadri Ismail, who, of course, is Super Bowl champ with the Ravens, 10-year NFL vet, co-hosts the Purple pregame and postgame show on WJZ-TV in Baltimore. Hey, Qadri.
Gentlemen, what's going on with you?
Hey, before we get into the game, actually, we were having a discussion about Travis Hunter before, and you're a guy who played NFL wide receiver. Do you think he has the physical abilities to play both sides?
Well, he does. He has a skill set to play both sides. The physical element of it all, it all depends on what they are asking him to do. And so if you're, well, technically his division really isn't a physical division. It's more of a finesse type of a division. And if you're asking me to come up for some run support, then you're asking the wrong dude. But if you're asking me to cover a guy, be man-to-man, been at receiver, I'm sitting there being an option for Trevor Lawrence. Yeah, I think it can happen. I think it has to be strategic, and you better have coaches that know what they're doing.
Hey, Qadri, can you give us any updates on your son who is in camp with the Las Vegas Raiders trying to make it as a tight end? How's that going for him? Is he optimistic about making the 53 when they cut down the rosters in just a few days now?
Yeah, no, that's a great question. It's going to be interesting because they have Brock Bowers. Mm-hmm. Obviously, he had an amazing rookie year. They have Michael Mayer, who, while he was out last year for personal reasons, he has had a great camp and looks the part. And those are your top two guys. Then you have Ian Thomas and then my son. So I think it'll come down to this Arizona Cardinals game where they'll both be battling to see if they can contribute special teams-wise. Obviously, they'll do their thing tight end-wise. And you just roll the dice. And you do what you do as best you can do. And don't sit there and try to look too far ahead. You just got to go out there and play. And that's what I've been telling him. That's what he's been doing. He's put himself in position and having himself a conversation to make the 53-man. And hopefully, it'll come to fruition.
So knowing that and having been through this yourself, you know, we've been doing this a long time, These third preseason games are brutal, but the back of the roster stories are always so interesting. Is it hard for you to watch these final games because so many of these guys are really only competing for a few spots? Or do you have so much sort of empathy for them that you're interested and you're locked in?
Well, the last 2 years has been different just because my son has obviously taken the field and, you know, I obviously wanted him to do extremely well and, right. and all the things. Covering the Ravens for the amount of years that I have, when I was on their radio broadcast, it became a scenario where I gained an appreciation for what the guys are going through just simply because you're interviewing them and you start to hear their backstories and you're like, wow, man, this dude, you know, he's overcome XYZ and he's really put himself in great position. The Ravens, for what they do, I think it's 20 of the last 21 years that they've had a undrafted rookie free agent make the 53-man roster. And so I look at it as like, all right, well, who's the next Zach Orr? You know, the guy now is, you know, defensive coordinator for the Ravens, but he clearly made the roster and contributed it big time before he had his cervical spine issues that caused him to have to retire. So, you know, I'm fully into it. I can see where the fans might be like, meh, you know, bring on the real deal. We want to see. But if you truly want your team to do well, you would look at this last game and then look beyond just the frontline starters. You want to make sure you guys got some depth because injuries are inevitable and you want those guys that are playing to not flinch when they get their opportunity to go out there and help your team, whoever your team is, win.
Kadri, what's the impact been of bringing in DeAndre Hopkins into that wide receiver room during the offseason? He can be a real like mentor type to the younger guys like Rashad Bateman and Zay Flowers there. What is DeAndre Hopkins bringing to that room so far?
Yeah, I think, again, his veteran presence is the main thing. I think at the same time, for him, it's not necessarily having to be the guy. It's going out there and making a play here or there. I know Nelson Aguilar for the last few seasons, that's what he did. And he showed up and showed out. I think the catch radius of DeAndre Hopkins and what he can do and bring to the red zone is intriguing to me. I think at the same time, they have those young players, a guy like a Tez Walker, who last year was a rookie from North Carolina. He was, trying to find his way. Well, he has had an amazing camp. And so I think for him and for Tylan Wallace, those are two guys that you're going to be seeing. And then you'll see DeAndre Hopkins. I think the receiver room is littered with young guys that are itching to play, that have the talent. But I'm sure DeAndre Hopkins, when needed, will make the necessary plays when called upon.
Talking to Kadri Ismail, played in the league for 10 years, Super Bowl champ with the Ravens. Since we're talking receivers, the big story here in D.C. has to do with the receiver who's not playing, Terry McLaurin. How do you see this thing playing out? You went through contract negotiations. What do you think happens here in D.C. with Terry McLaurin?
It is perplexing to me that you feel Terry McLaurin shouldn't get paid what he needs to get paid when it comes to the market, the receiver market. It boggles my mind. You're in the NFC Championship game. You reignited a very loyal, strong, amazing fan base. You got yourself a franchise quarterback, young dude, young, and ready to go. I've seen what Lamar Jackson has done to this franchise and this fan base. Like, what are we doing here? You know, you got a go-to receiver that he can rely upon, and you're quibbling like right now. Like, I know new ownership, old ownership, medium ownership, whatever the ownership, go ahead and own up to the ship that you need to go ahead and pay homeboy, and let's get it done. Like, it doesn't make any sense to me. Terry McLaurin needs to get paid into discussion.
Real quick, as a former receiver, realistically, now I know that he's been training, and they were, you know, they had this ankle, phantom ankle injury. They were claiming that they were rehabbing, whatever. Apparently he's running there somewhere under the monitor of them, but that's not the same, right, as the reps. How much, let's just say something happens. He either just comes in and plays the final year, or they come to an agreement. How much time does he realistically need to ramp up to be ready for week one?
I would say he's a professional that has been there. You give him 8 days.
I'm Rhett.
And I'm Link.
And we're the hosts of the podcast Ear Biscuits. We're just two lifelong friends who've been talking about life for a long time.
From being dads to businessmen to all the random things we experience, nothing is off limits.
And now we're talking to you. We're answering your questions, giving advice that you may or may not want to take, and listening to your hilarious stories.
So leave us a voicemail to be part of the show at
1-888-EARPOD1 on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
I think the endurance as the season goes on, maybe week four, he'll be like full go, no worries, let's get it. But I think 8 days just to like get him involved, however many snaps that looks like, but those snaps are going to be critical. So if it's, you know, 20 snaps, then that's all he needs. Go ahead. He's going to show out.
So you'd say if he comes in, let's just say with 2 weeks or less, that's just basically where we're at. You wouldn't expect him, no matter how great a shape he is, to get a full load of snaps in week one already.
It's not that I wouldn't expect it. I think it's a scenario where do I put all my eggs in one basket for week one, or am I looking at the long haul of the season? I want him to ramp up into the season. I need him later in the year where that's when it matters. I think that's the issue you run into with contract negotiations that have gone too far into training camp slash now.
So it's already gone too far. It's already going to impact the regular season now.
Agreed. You're absolutely right. And so now you best get off to a hot start so you're not sitting there and you're forcing him slash the offense to do something that it is not capable of doing.
Right. So you say 8 days to get in there and to get some playing time, 4 weeks in your best estimation to really feel like you're full go.
Absolutely. Yeah. He's a veteran. He already has that, I know my body already knows what it needs to do, mindset. This isn't a young player is like, you know, green and wet behind the ears.
Right. But there is a certain number of reps and just sort of body building, for lack of a better phrase, that you need to do to be ready to take this pounding for, you know, 80 plays a game or whatever the hell it is. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. I don't mean it. That's yes. Absolutely.
It just is what it is.
Kadri, always love talking to you, man. Thanks for joining us.
Fellas, appreciate you.
All right. Yeah. Good luck to your son.
Thank you, man. I'm looking forward to a great game against the Cardinals. Let's kill
him. He's going to have a sweat.
Let's go.
Real sweat.
Cadre is on the Rude Guest Hotline, Rude's most reliable heating and air conditioning products in the DMV. Coming up next, we'll switch gears and open up EB's entertainment page. Don't go anywhere.
I'm Rhett.
And I'm Link.
And we're the hosts of the podcast Ear Biscuits. We're just two lifelong friends who've been talking about life for a long time.
From being dads to businessmen to all the random things we experience, nothing is off limits.
And now we're talking to you. We're answering your questions, giving advice that you may or may not want to take, and listening to your hilarious stories.
So leave us a voicemail to be part of the show at
1-888-EARPOD1 on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.